Hello and welcome to a playoff edition of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and I could not be happier to be here to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs for the right to go to the AFC Championship game. There's obviously an enormous amount on the line here for the Chiefs. But what I want to ask to set off this show is, as we look back to Week 4, when the Chiefs went to Pittsburgh and got absolutely trounced, is what's different from last time? The Chiefs in this game are favored from 1 to 2 points in most places, exactly as we expected coming into last week. But why are the Chiefs favored? Why are the Chiefs better than they were in Week 4? How do we get to a prediction for this game? I'll tell you what I think, why I think the Chiefs are a pretty popular pick here. And also get to some of your questions and your concerns that you sent to me on Twitter. This is going to be a packed show with dangerous amounts of optimism. Pittsburgh Steelers at Kansas City Chiefs. In the divisional round of the AFC playoffs, the winner goes to the AFC Championship game. All but certainly to New England for the right to go to the Super Bowl. As I mentioned in the open, the Chiefs are favored by a point or two pretty much across the board. What's different from when these teams played in Week 4? What can we expect from these teams? Where are the Chiefs' advantages? Where are the Steelers' advantages? Back to Week 4. When the Chiefs lost to the Steelers 43-14 in Week 4, it was never close. Going into the fourth quarter, the Steelers were up 36-0. Why should Sunday be any different? There are an enormous number of reasons, that especially that the Chiefs have improved. The Steelers have shown some inconsistencies. We'll get to those in a second. But first, why are the Chiefs better than last time we saw all these teams match up? The most obvious answer to this question revolves around Tyreek Hill, as most of the Chiefs' offense does currently. Tyreek Hill played 18 snaps back in that game in Week 4. Via Oxium Sports, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill accounted for 46% of the Chiefs' yards from scrimmage during the second half of the season. Second half of the season, Kelce and Hill have been half of the offense. And I think everyone has seen that, including Andy Reid. The most encouraging thing we saw back in Week 17 was that not only did Tyreek Hill... Tyreek Hill, throughout the second half of the season, Hill and Kelce got their looks. But whenever they didn't in Week 17, it was Chris Conley and Jeremy Maclin both bringing in 5 catches for 50-some yards. Guys being brought back into the actual rotation of the offense. So Travis Kelce gets 1 catch for 8 yards, whatever he ended up with in that game. Tyreek Hill hasn't been very productive through the air. He's made his plays. But as a receiver, he's been watched much more closely these last few weeks. And even then, he has been such an enormous part of the offense, and obviously in special teams. But whenever those guys didn't step up in Week 17, Conley and Maclin were there to make big, strong catches with strong hands, good body positioning, the kind of things that you expect from Chris Conley and Jeremy Maclin. The offense seems to be on the same page now. The offense seems to be fully functioning. That's the biggest difference, is we were watching an extremely up-and-down Chiefs team, an extremely up-and-down Chiefs offense, with Travis Kelce, with Tyreek Hill, and hopefully now with a healthy Jeremy Maclin and maybe a confident Chris Conley, I think we're starting to see a complete Chiefs offense with plenty of threats out of the backfield as well. Charkendrick West and Spencer Ware both deserve carries. Tyreek Hill's getting his own carries, and the Chiefs have been very good at getting the ball to those backs out of the backfield through the passing game. We finally see a balanced offense here. On the other side of the ball, what's different from Week 4? In Week 4, Steven Nelson played 90% of the defensive snaps. DJ White played 51%. In fact, Nelson, White, and Peters were the only three true cornerbacks who got snaps in that game. This is how long ago it was and how different this Chiefs team is. Terrence Mitchell, the far and away second most impressive corner on this team, was not on the roster whenever the Chiefs and Steelers last played. He has been absolutely superb since he got the starting nod. I had no hope for Terrence Mitchell because I had no hope for Kenneth Acker. I had very little hope for DJ White. It was Steven Nelson and Philip Gaines who brought a little bit of optimism in that secondary. But man, it was Terrence Mitchell who delivered. The secondary looks so different with him across from Marcus Peters. And Marcus Peters was very good against Antonio Brown at the very least. And we'll talk about Brown and Bell later on. But there's a stat going around saying that Marcus Peters played some snaps against like 7 of the top 10 yard getters among wide receivers in the NFL this year and allowed touchdowns to none of them. Now, Antonio Brown was scoring against the Chiefs, but not against Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is an absolute stalwart on his side of the field, and Terrence Mitchell's been absolutely superb on the opposite side. This is the best I've felt about those two corners since it was Marcus Peters and Sean Smith. That's the kind of strides that position group has made. What about the special teams? Dave Tobe gives the Chiefs an advantage in any matchup as far as this unit of the special teams versus any other unit. That's easy. What about coaching? One thing that I said going into Week 17, saying the Chiefs need to pull out that 2 seed, is because Andy Reid is historically good coming out of a bye. This continues for his postseason record, his postseason performances. He's simply better whenever he has more time to prepare. Now, in theory, the Chiefs didn't know who they were going to play in this game, but Dave Tobe mentioned, this is from Pete Sweeney at PG Sween on Twitter, he said Dave Tobe mentioned he and the coaching staff started working on, quote, Pittsburgh Steelers, to be quite honest, Monday and Tuesday of the bye week. They knew this was going to be the matchup, and if it ended up being against the Dolphins or the Texans or the Raiders, they would have, whoever that would have played out, they would have been prepared. They knew the Steelers were the biggest threat and the most likely opponent, so they've been preparing for it. If Tobe has been waiting for the Steelers, so has Andy Reid. He's good against teams on the second time they've seen him in a season. That was a long time ago, but I think he's got an entire, Andy Reid and everybody on the staff has a whole year of tape on the Pittsburgh Steelers here. And in that time, the Steelers have shown their inconsistencies. So I think the Chiefs have the coaching advantage here. But I think it's important, more important than it might be in some other matchups, because the Steelers have shown some things that can be exploited if focused in on enough, and I'm sure the Chiefs have been doing that. Tom Fear at TJF Sports tweeted out an interesting couple of stats. Ben Roethlisberger, over 3 seasons, has some pretty remarkable home-road splits. Listen to these stats. Try to stick with these numbers if you can. It's a lot of numbers, but it's worth it. Here's what Tom tweeted out, saying Ben Roethlisberger last 3 seasons. At home, he is 16-4 with 59 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, and over 8.5 yards per attempt. MVP numbers, Hall of Famer numbers, like mind-boggling. 16-4, almost 60 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, over 8.5 yards per attempt. I mean, that's tremendous. And whenever I think Ben Roethlisberger, that's what I think. What about on the road? On the road, he's still 13-9. Now, that's close to 500, a couple of bounces the other direction, but, you know, still above 500 on the road. Nothing to shake a stick at, but 13-9, 23 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, and 7.38 yards per attempt. That's pretty striking. 16-4 at home, 13-9 on the road. 59 touchdowns at home, 23 on the road. 16 picks at home, 22 on the road. The 23 to 22 touchdown to interception ratio on the road over 3 seasons, I think, is meaningful. That's not a small sample size. We're taking 21 road games and 20 home games here. I'm sorry, 22 road games and 20 home games. That is not insignificant. And he's thrown under half as many touchdowns in more games on the road than he does at home. Again, we do a lot of oversimplifying statistics, and we over-extrapolate small sample sizes in NFL analysis all the time because we're generally working with pretty small sample sizes. But that's meaningful for Ben Roethlisberger, I would argue. And also, you can make this drawn back to the Chiefs or look at the Steelers' more recent performances, and I think you see a lot of the same trends. First of all, these advantages that the Chiefs are going to have are going to be amplified by their own home field boosts. Here's a stat from BJ Kissel at Chiefs Reporter on Twitter. The Chiefs' opponents combined to average 23.6 points per game on the year, but at Arrowhead, they average 15.8. The defense is flatly better at home. And you can do some analyzation of what were the teams they played on the road, what were the teams they played at home. Yes, they went to Atlanta, maybe the best offense they saw all year, and they, you know, ended up with the Jags at home. But that's, if you can give a little bit, give yourself a little bit of a margin of error, I don't think that is meaningless. If I didn't use double negatives, I would say that's meaningful. But keep connecting the dots here. Ben Roethlisberger, in his last five games, threw 8 interceptions this year. And the Chiefs lead the league in picks with 18, tied with San Diego and Baltimore, and led the league in fumbles recovered, so best in the NFL in forced turnovers. Roethlisberger has been relatively turnover-prone in his last 5 regular season games, although he was awfully good against Miami. But I think a lot of these matchups seem pretty positive for the Chiefs up against an offense that is very, very good. In fact, maybe my favorite stat from this season, and you can take it for what you will, because you stats just give you numbers and you decide what you make of them. But this is a stat from CNewton430 on Twitter. He said, the Chiefs were 7-1 this year against top 10 scoring teams. 7-1 against the 8 games they played against the top 10 scoring teams. The Chiefs have not been exploited by powerful offenses. Even whenever the defense has been put on its heels a little bit, the offense has stepped up. And you can look at the very end of the season for the best example of that was whenever the Chiefs and Chargers went back and forth. The Chiefs put up 37 points. The Chargers ended up with 27 because they had some late boosts. The Chiefs went blow for blow with the Falcons, winning that game 29-28. They beat the Broncos 30-27. They were not a top 10 scoring offense, I'm sure. They beat the Saints 27-21. I know you know these things, but I think this is interesting and meaningful. The Chiefs' defense has done enough against top offenses, and whenever it hasn't done enough, the offense has shown up. That's a good place to find yourself. In coming off of a bye with a week of rest, with a week of extra game planning, with some inconsistencies from the Steelers. Now, the bad weather offense is going to be really interesting. As I record this show right now, late on Thursday night, classes across Kansas City and schools have been canceled for Friday morning. There's, you know, supposed to be a apocalyptic amounts of ice Saturday and Sunday. So how does that change the offense? I'm not sure. It's not going to be bitterly, bitterly cold, and I know the Arrowhead field staff will try to have that field as normal as possible. So I'm not going to totally panic. They're not going to be playing with an ice-covered football. But the Chiefs' offense has picked up the slack when the defense has struggled. The defense hasn't struggled all that often. I think a lot of those things play in the favor of the Chiefs here, even though they're going up against an offense that has the best trio of quarterback, running back, receiver in football. I would take them even over the Cowboys because Ben Roethlisberger is that much better than Dak Prescott. Zeke Elliott is amazing. Dez Bryant's amazing. But I will take Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger over any other trio of guys in the league if I really have to consider all three of those positions. I might actually take Aaron Rodgers and whoever you could give me because Aaron Rodgers is that good right now. But if you're considering all three positions, they might have the best receiver, the best running back, and a top five quarterback. But I'm not totally shaking in my boots about the Chiefs' defense holding up here. But I do have one really major concern, and it's at a place that we all thought was going to be a strength coming into this season, and even during parts of the season. I'm concerned about the Chiefs' pass rush. They had 2 sacks against Atlanta, 1 against Oakland, 1 versus the Titans, none in Denver, or none versus Denver at home, and none in San Diego. In their final 5 games of the season, the Chiefs had 4 sacks. That is disturbing. Like that is a jarring stat for a team that had, you know, the breakout game in Denver with Justin Houston, had Dee Ford with a lightning fast start to the year. Well, whenever Ford got moved around, he had his hamstring injury. He really slowed down. He's done virtually nothing since Justin Houston returned. Houston had the big game and then wasn't performing very highly on a very high level and then missed a bunch of games with his injury. The pass rush has not been good enough. Chris Jones has been a very good pass rusher as an interior defensive lineman, but those linebackers have simply been a non-factor. Tom Bahali looks 900 years old at times. If you can give him maybe 30 or 40% of the snaps, well, you give him 40% of the snaps and have him rotate in with Houston and Ford, that's great. But Ford and Houston have not demanded that kind of attention or those kind of snap numbers here. And I know there are other metrics for getting pressure on the quarterback, but that's simply not good enough. Hurrying Ben Roethlisberger's not good enough, and the Chiefs have to finish. And Roethlisberger is superb at avoiding sacks as it is. Also, he injured his foot at the end of Pittsburgh's blowout win over the Dolphins last week. He's going to play maybe a tiny bit less mobile. I don't know. But what's the key then for the Chiefs manufacturing some pass rush? You can either give Bob Sutton all of the chips and say, you have to decide where to place your bets here. You make pressure how you can. If it's with Dontari Poe, if it's with Chris Jones, if it's just letting Houston and Ford and Haley put their foot in the ground and go, you can let Bob Sutton try to dial things up, but I think he has to have a certain feeling about Justin Houston that's going to dictate how this defense operates. Now, Justin Houston and Tamba Haley were both limited in practice on Wednesday with their knees. Andy Reid said, I think on Wednesday as well, he said, quote, maybe even Tuesday, he said, quote, I think he'll be fine. I'm anticipating that, which is just instilling so much confidence in me about Justin Houston's health. And then Thursday, Houston was a full participant in practice, which means something, maybe. Here's where this gets so worrisome to me. SB Nation had an article at the beginning of the playoffs. I might have talked about it once already. I don't remember. They had an article at the beginning of the playoffs that detailed the fatal flaw for each team in the playoffs. And the Chiefs' fatal flaw was that their pass rush has been abysmal for the last several weeks, even though they have a couple of big-name guys. D. Ford led the league in sacks for a little while. Justin Houston is one of the highest-paid pass rushers in football. Even with those names, their pass rush was abysmal. That was the fatal flaw that SB Nation assigned to the Chiefs. And they're right. I mean, if they perform as they have these last several weeks, that absolutely is the worst part of this team right now. Or at least the worst part of the most important place. Here's the bright side of this, is if Justin Houston, with his several weeks off, not playing the last few games, and then having the bye week, and then not practicing until Thursday, or at least not in full, if that lets the swelling go down in his knee, if that gets him structurally, it won't get him structurally sound, that's not going to heal up in 4 weeks, but if the swelling becomes less of an issue, if he can get through three more games this year, divisional round, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, with theoretically a week to let it rest before the Super Bowl. If he could get through those games, if that time off could make him Justin Houston again, then the weakness becomes a strength, and the Chiefs just beat everybody. I mean, honestly, at this point, if you said, hey, I'm going to give you what the D Ford you saw back in week six or whatever, and I'm going to give you the Justin Houston back, I'd say, all right, bring it, literally anybody else. With as well as the secondary has been playing, give the pass rush back. The run defense is suspect, but maybe Justin March Lillard returns on Sunday. Those pieces fall into place? Sure. Give me the Chiefs against anybody. But I don't expect that to happen. I mean, Houston had sort of the same song and dance last year, ended up getting total knee surgery in the offseason, missed the first, 10 games or so this year, came back, didn't do much, came back, had a big game against the Broncos, and then was virtually silent for the remainder of his active games, and then missed, I think, the last three, just trying to get right for the playoffs. At this point, I have no faith in Justin Houston being healthy, and the Chiefs have handled this very poorly because he should have just gotten the surgery last season whenever he seemed to need it. I would bet anything that he'll get at least some sort of cleaning up done this offseason. He might need to get total reconstructive surgery this offseason. We have no idea. At the very least, I can't see him coming in and playing 80% of the snaps for as long as the Chiefs are left in the playoffs. And even if he plays a lot of snaps, I can't see him playing a lot of snaps at an explosive high level. And that is very worrisome to me. And it should worry you as well. And D. Ford has just simply not been as good since he moved to the opposite side, where Justin Houston would go up against the right tackles, Ford would go up against the lefts. Of course, he was going up against better offensive linemen when he moved over, but he just seems to be a more natural fit going up against right tackles. That's where he shined this year, at the very least. So, I don't feel good about the Chiefs' pass rush. I have no reason to. You don't have any reason to be super optimistic there. It hasn't been good lately. Justin Houston has not been healthy. I have no reason to think that this last week was the last week of rest that he needed to really get himself right. I don't believe that. That seems like a fairy tale to say, Okay, well, he had the whole offseason to get right, and then he had a few games where he played, but eventually he just sort of swelled up, gave him a few more weeks off, and now with his bye week, he's really going to be ready to come back. This is the real time he's coming back to be Justin Houston again. I don't know why you would think that. I don't know what your logic would be there, other than hope. And I hope that he comes back explosively, but I don't have any real optimism about it. I don't have any optimism about Tom Bahali breaking out. Maybe a little bit of hope that if D Ford does play up against the right tackles, or right tackle, just sticking to the Steelers game, I guess, and not looking ahead to say the Patriots. If D Ford is going up against the right tackle in this game, and going from the right side or from the left side of the defense, then perhaps he is a more natural fit. Perhaps he is getting to Roethlisberger. But I'm having a hard time curating optimism for the Chiefs' outside pass rushers. Where I do have some hope is that Dontari Poe has been demanding double teams all year long. And by doing that, he's given a lot of opportunities to Chris Jones, who, for the record, has made his own opportunities as well. Like, that is not a discreditor to Chris Jones whatsoever. He's been tremendous. But that's currently the Chiefs' best chance at getting to Roethlisberger. And that's good, too, because whenever you're going up against quarterbacks, like potentially next week with Tom Brady, if the Chiefs do pull off this game, which, by the way, will be absolutely difficult. I'm not going to get my prediction till later, but I'll tell you now, I'm not predicting that either team wins this by more than a touchdown. If you're going up against a quarterback with a really quick release, more Brady than Roethlisberger, but Roethlisberger can get rid of the ball quickly. If you're going up against a quarterback with a quick release, you could have Von Miller and Khalil Mack on either side, and you're not going to get to Tom Brady very consistently because he's going to know you're coming. He's going to get rid of the ball quickly. He's going to dump it off to one of his white slot receivers, and they're going to pick up 7 yards at a time, and they're going to beat you by 12 points. Just how that works when you have a quarterback with that kind of release. It's how Alex Smith has kept his jersey cleaner this year. That there's been a lot more of that in this Chiefs offense. Where that gets broken up is whenever you can get pressure up the gut. Dontari Poe has not been really generating much pressure this year, but again, he's been demanding double teams, and Chris Jones and Raheem Nunez-Roches and Kendall Reyes have all been getting pressure of their own. Chris Jones by far the most consistently. If the Chiefs can get pressure there, if Chris Jones can make his presence felt, then maybe we don't feel the lost presence of Justin Houston so much. And if Houston comes back healthy, then great. But that is the area that right now that I am the most concerned about, especially on the defensive side of the ball. What about on the other side? We talked about Kelce and Hill again, and as I mentioned at the beginning, the Chiefs have found kind of their balanced offense. We've gotten to the point now where I think if you've watched this team closely throughout the Smith and Reed years, but especially this year with Hill and Kelce, you understand you run the offense through those guys until the defense says you can't do that anymore. And the Steelers, for their explosiveness on offense, by the way, I gotta revert to Le'Veon Bell in a minute, but the Steelers, for all of their offensive explosiveness, their defense is ripe for the picking. If Alex Smith plays like playoff Alex Smith, which is a real thing, by the way, Alex Smith in the playoffs has been a different type of Alex Smith. Maybe it's because he knows he's playing with house money, if that's really not the right expression there. I'm going to say if he knows it's because he's got to win the game, maybe he plays a little more loosely. I don't know what it is, and Alex Smith has been asked what it is, and he has given no interesting answers whatsoever because that's what he does. But he played like a different quarterback in the postseason. If he gets some of those risks thrown out to Tyreek Hill 40 yards downfield, it's either a punt and an interception. You know, it's an interception that basically serves as a punt, or it's incomplete, or it's pass interference in 40 yards, or it's perfectly thrown and it's a touchdown. If he's pushing the ball downfield to the guys who can demand downfield attention, namely Tyreek Hill, because he is just so fast, you put some of that downfield risk out there, you spread out the offense, you give the ball across the middle to Travis Kelce all day long, you manufacture touches for him and Hill because those guys with the ball in their hand are so dangerous, then Spencer Ware becomes so hard to keep an eye on because he is not only a capable running back between the tackles, around the edges, just running the ball, period. He is good out of the backfield, as is Charcandrick West. Alex Smith has started to run the ball again in the kind of the waning moments of the season. He seemed to find his legs again. the offense is going to find places in the Steelers' defense to exploit. Where does the key show up here then? What do the Chiefs have to do other than get pressure? If you were to tell me right now that the Chiefs held Le'Veon Bell, you came from the future, you came back from 4 p.m. on Sunday, and you said the Chiefs held Le'Veon Bell to 85 yards, no touchdown, and it was on like 15 carries, then I would say, all right, you know what, I'm calling it bookie. I think that would be, and that might even be over-exaggerating, but if you say under 100 yards, maybe only one touchdown, I'd say, okay, I'm feeling pretty good about that. I've got no complaints there. Le'Veon Bell is unlike any running back I've ever seen play football in his patience. And this is something that Jamaal Charles was great at, I'm sure still is very good at, but regardless, I digress. I don't want to think about Jamaal Charles on this team. It makes me too sad because it would be so good. But we as Chiefs fans saw a lot of great patience from Jamaal Charles. We didn't see Le'Veon Bell's patience. I mean, he will virtually come to a stop. And I would say it's him and it's LeSean McCoy and it's Jamaal Charles in that order for the most patient runners that I've seen in my, you know, maybe 6 years of closely paying attention to football. Maybe longer than that, but I was not watching football or around consciously to watch Barry Sanders. So the guys that I've seen in this modern NFL, he's the most patient. And with an offensive line that can often be a little bit suspect, he just waits for the play to unfold. And he either waits for the linemen to make their blocks, or he waits for somebody to miss on the defense, and then he will go exploit that mistake. Le'Veon Bell is a hard, hard man to stop. And I don't even expect, and I haven't even really talked about Antonio Brown very seriously, because I think the Chiefs secondary and those corners have played so well. I think the Chiefs can do enough there. If not because Terrence Mitchell's been great, because Bob Sutton knows how to make Terrence Mitchell look as good as possible. Bob Sutton knows how to set up the defense to keep them from getting burnt deep. Peters will win some and lose some. He'll try to bait Roethlisberger. He'll make a great play. He'll make a mistake somewhere. Terrence Mitchell will get beat at some point. But Bob Sutton in the secondary have done so well with these big opposing receivers, not big physically, but just big name receivers, the top receivers in football, since Terrence Mitchell has returned, that I feel pretty good. I feel as good as I can about Antonio Brown, who is truly like an unstoppable force. He's going to get his catches. I'm not saying that he's going to get shut out in this game. I would even bet on him getting a score here. And I would bet on Le'Veon Bell getting a score as well. But those are the playmakers. Whenever Ben Roethlisberger has been a little bit up and down, he goes to those guys, and they will make up any space that you need. I think the Chiefs have some comparable weapons when you say Alex Smith can be up and down, but you get the ball to Hill and Kelsey, and they will make everything feel better. They are the cure-all. The Chiefs have some similarities, I think, with those dueling players on their own offenses. So this might seem a little bit backwards for the Chiefs team that you know, and for the way that I've talked about the Chiefs this year, and for this matchup, but the defense is going, in my opinion, the defense is going to limit the Steelers, but not stop them. They're going to get beat, but not get blown out. The Steelers are going to score 20 to 24 points in this game, if I had to give you that tight of a range, even if the weather stinks. I think the Steelers are going to score 20 points in this game, and that would be a huge win for the defense. They could score 27 in this game, and I could say, yeah, what did you expect? They've got an unbelievable trio. And maybe you would expect me, this is what I think is kind of backwards, is maybe you would expect me to say the defense has to just keep them under 27 points, or the defense has to make some big plays. I think the defense will make some plays here. But I'm not putting the pressure on the defense. As I've done for a lot of these games against big offenses, I put the pressure on the Chiefs offense to keep pace. And I think the Chiefs are pretty well equipped to do that. For all of these reasons I've talked about all year, you know, since week 8 or so, since, you know, Kelce and Hill started to become the guys in these last few weeks especially, it seems like Alex Smith has hit his stride, and he hits it even more smoothly in the playoffs. It seems like Andy Reid finally understands his weapons. It seems like Jeremy Maclin is back in the groove. It seems like Chris Conley is trustworthy again. It seems like the backfield is strong enough. And so here's some final stats before I give an actual prediction and get your guys' questions. BJ Kissel again said the Steelers, when allowing 21 or more points on the road, were 0-3. Whenever they allowed 20 or less, they were 5-0. Week 3, it was at Philadelphia. They didn't have Le'Veon Bell. Week 6 was at Miami. Roethlisberger was banged up. Week 9 was at Baltimore. And the Steelers won their last 4 road games, won their last 8 total games. They're no slouches here. But that's saying, well, if the Chiefs get 21 points, the odds are in their favor based off of the Steelers' history. The Chiefs must score 24 points in this game. That is a non-negotiable. You could give me literally, I think, any slightly reasonable set of circumstances. And if you say, blah, 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 this happens, but the Chiefs don't score 24 points, I'm not super interested in hearing about how the rest of the game goes, because I think I know already. They just have to make that happen. And I don't want to count defensive scores in that. You can say offense and special teams need to produce 24 points. I feel like that is pretty obvious, yet also still needs to be said. Also, to talk about the overall strength of the Steelers here, Paul Fuller tweeted and said, Pittsburgh started 4-5 against teams with a combined record of 83-59-2, and then finished 7-0 against teams with a combined record of 42-69-1. The Steelers struggled at the beginning of the year playing good teams, roughly 8-6 teams, like a handful over 500 level teams, then finished 7-0 against teams that were more or less going 4-7 to just do some really gross division and some fraction simplification. Against teams averaging basically 8 wins to every 6 losses, they were 4-5. They were 7-0 against teams averaging 4 wins to every 7 losses. Anyway, I think the Chiefs have the offensive firepower to put up 24 points on a very questionable Steelers defense. I think the Chiefs defense has plenty of firepower to hold the Steelers to something like 21. I think the game actually ends up a little bit north of that, because I think the Steelers are going to push the Chiefs, and I think Alex Smith and Andy Reid are going to push right back. But I'm going to save my prediction until after your questions. Let's go to your questions now. You can always shoot me a question on Twitter at JBBriscoe after the game, no matter how it goes, win or lose. I want to get your takes and takeaways. It'll either be seeing what you take into the offseason or what you take into the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, but we will have those after the game on Sunday. But right now, what were your questions, your thoughts coming into this game? What did you want to know about now? Let's kick it off with Ty Declare at Ty Declare 44. His question was simple: which KC team is going to show up? And I think this puts the team into a little bit of a false dichotomy, where we kind of have the good Chiefs and the bad Chiefs. We have good Andy Reid, bad Andy Reid, good Alex Smith, bad Alex Smith, good defense, bad defense. I think all year long, the Chiefs have been much more subtle than that. They've been flawed in places, and they've had big plays cover up their flaws. The Panthers game, you know, they never should have won the Panthers game. They never should have lost the Titans game. We see Andy Reid, you know, didn't have his foot on the gas hard enough in a couple of games. But then, you know, Dontari Poe throws a touchdown pass in the final minutes of the Broncos win. There's an ebb and flow to this Chiefs team, and I don't think they're ever living in a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation. I don't think there are two Chiefs. I think there's a Chiefs team that has inconsistencies. I think that team is what's going to show up. I think that team has shown up every week this year. I think we've seen 16 games of the 2016-17 Kansas City Chiefs show up where they have been the same team with their high points and their low points, with their consistencies and their inconsistencies. And I think whatever we see on Sunday, we're going to watch and we're going to look back and we're going to go, oh yeah, we've seen that. We've seen the sparks of that. We've seen Alex Smith air it out. We've seen the Chiefs offense be really good in the 2-minute drill. And we've seen Andy Reid let his foot off the gas in the second half. This is probably too broad and probably doesn't mean all that much. But I guess I could say nothing that could happen on Sunday could be totally surprising to me, these Chiefs do. Because if Marcus Peters gets burned, what are you going to say? Well, Antonio Brown is probably the best receiver in football. If Marcus Peters is great and shuts down Antonio Brown, I'm going to say, yeah, Marcus Peters is probably the best corner in football. We're seeing two really, really good teams match up where the Chiefs just have the slight edge in my mind. They're at home. They had an extra week. The Steelers are pretty inconsistent. The Chiefs are also inconsistent in their different zones. I don't think that there is a good or bad Chiefs team that's going to show up, a good or bad Steelers team that's going to show up. I think we're going to see the Chiefs and the Steelers in a way where we look back and go, yeah, we saw glimpses of that team back in week blank. Back in the game when they went to blank. I don't think we're going to see good Chiefs or bad Chiefs. I think we're going to see a team that shows flashes of everything we saw this year, where this game is more a collection of that than it is, oh man, that was the flawless Chiefs, or oh boy, that was Andy Reid not getting it. From Kyle Puckett at KyPuck910, I'm confident the players will show up to play, but how worried are you that the game will come down to clock management and coaches? Man, that last year or the beginning of this year would have been a perfect question. And the answer would have been terrified. But this year, Andy Reid has been uncharacteristically good at managing the game from the sideline. And the offense overall has been much better in the hurry up. In fact, usually they've been better in the hurry up than they've been in their normal huddle up offense. They've usually had a pretty good pace, except for those times when, you know, Andy Reid, quote, left his foot off the gas. I'm not worried about that at all. And maybe they come out slowly. Maybe I'm worried about that, but boy, they sure shouldn't. It's a home playoff game to go to the AFC Championship game. They have had a week off. They're going up against the Steelers. This isn't some slouch team coming in. It's a revenge game. There's no excuse for anybody to come out slow here. And beyond that, I'm totally cool with Andy Reid with 2 weeks of game plan to come up with something to beat Mike Tomlin. The Chiefs have the advantage there. And even in clock management, the two-minute offense, the hurry-up offense this year has been really, really good. And Smith has been good in it. Reid has called it well. This is strange for me to say. These words come out of my mouth tasting sour, but man, I'm cool with whatever Andy Reid's got up his sleeve. If they end up getting ahead and then slowing down, then I'll be critical. But whenever the Chiefs have had to play quickly, they've played well. A few questions in a row from Keyshawn Brown. He said, with most of the focus on Kelce and Tyreek Hill, does Ware and West and Macklin and Conley plus Alex Smith have a big game? I think there's a great chance of that. I think if Kelce and Hill do demand all of the attention, as they rightfully could, then I think Macklin and Conley have to step up. I think Ware and West have to become a bigger part of the game plan. Absolutely, yeah, and Alex Smith has to be comfortable running the ball. Because the place we're at with the Chiefs right now, which again is sort of a strange place for me to say, is we're at a place where they have enough weapons on the team to where you can't expect the subpar defense to cover everybody. I'm not sure you could expect a great defense to cover everybody here. The Broncos couldn't handle everybody on this team. There are matchup issues everywhere, and Andy Reid and the staff here, I think, are going to find those. Also from Keyshawn, is there any doubt that Smith has saved his best football for a Super Bowl run? Has Andy held back calls for that run? I don't think Andy Reid has been holding back anything, really. I think they've been fighting for the 2 seed, and they got it. I don't think he had anything that he was willing to hide away that would put that 2 seed in jeopardy. I think he just missed sometimes, like in that Titans game. But I do think that there's something to be said for Alex Smith starting to run more right around now, getting his legs back in the last couple of games, and then bringing that back for the playoff run, being more willing to run with the ball, because now there's not self-preservation for the playoffs, you're in the playoffs. I think there's something to that. I don't know if Reed is holding anything back, but I also would say that Reed might be drawing something new up to exploit specific weaknesses of the Steelers. One more from Keyshawn. Lastly, how balanced can this team be for a Super Bowl run? Do we even see it, or is what they already do enough to win at all? Offensively, I think this team has the pieces to be balanced enough to win at all. Defensively, it depends on the pass rush, where if you would say, well, they have Justin Houston and D Ford, surely they do have the pieces, but we haven't seen those pieces all come together quite right since Houston left again with his injury reoccurring, the swelling coming up, etc. From Ryan Miller at Casey Royal 5280, can we expect to see Tyreek returning kickoffs and punts? More important, containing Bell or getting consistent pressure on Ben? Two questions there, two good questions. I don't expect to see Tyreek Hill returning kickoffs, at least to start this game, because Dave Tobe can do it with anybody he's gotten. He made Nile Davis and DeAnthony Thomas good kick returners. I do expect to see Hill returning punts still. It wouldn't bother me one tiny bit to see Hill returning the kickoffs, but I would be a little bit surprised because he's so valuable on offense now. To see him, you know, get hit in the knee on a kickoff return would be devastating. On the other hand, it would be tremendous to see him take back the opening kick and totally put the momentum in the Chiefs' hands. I would say that he'll return punts and not kicks and will be a big part of the offense, but I would be okay with being wrong there as long as that's what Tobe thinks is best. I don't know if he could do anything that would make me say, oh, you know what, Tobe just did the wrong thing. I concede all power and all wisdom to Dave Tobe. And then the question, what's more important, containing Bell or getting consistent pressure on Ben? Containing Le'Veon Bell is hugely important. You can only do so much. I don't think he's going to end up with 200 yards in this game, no matter what. I don't see Bob Sutton getting burnt so badly there that Le'Veon Bell totally takes over this game. But what he can do is keep the Steelers alive. If the Steelers end up in second and short situations, you're going to give the ball to Le'Veon Bell, get a new set of downs. He's going to get fed the ball plenty. He's going to man touches, and he's going to do good things with it. That's what he does. He's an unbelievable running back. But you could contain Bell and still lose this game. I don't know if the Chiefs can win without getting to Ben Roethlisberger, and I certainly don't see them getting to Roethlisberger consistently and losing this game. So I will say it's more important to get consistent pressure on Big Ben, because you get pressure on Big Ben, I think you win the game. The Chiefs have to have a horrible offensive performance for them to not win after getting to Roethlisberger. From Michael Dewey at Dewey Mike, can the Chiefs stop Pittsburgh? I honestly don't think so, but man, I want to believe no one's giving the Chiefs a chance. My one frustration as a Chiefs fan is that no one ever fears us. Oakland is gone. It has one good year and everybody's in love. We're always the ugly sister with a great personality. The Raiders were feared this year because they earned that. They had an incredible playmaker on defense with Khalil Mack, although I think the Raiders ended up being last in the league in sacks. But most importantly, though, they had a high-powered offense. High-powered offenses are rightfully scary in the NFL. I have no qualms with people fearing the Raiders. The Chiefs don't play as interesting a brand of offensive football, and that's changed some with Tyreek Hill. If you look at how the team has been covered nationally and in primetime games and everything, the Chiefs have gotten more feared with the emergence of Hill and Kelce. Offensive playmakers demand respect. Now, back to can the Chiefs stop Pittsburgh? Yeah, the Chiefs have been stopping great offenses all year. That's one thing that they have done consistently, or at least, if not stopped them, just barely beaten them. Go back to the Falcons game. They won by 1 point. That's a W. You beat the Steelers by 1 point, and you head to Foxborough. I'm not going to complain there. So I do think they can do enough. Now, it's going to be an element of, or it's going to be about doing enough to slow that down the Steelers' offense and to give the Chiefs' offense a chance, and the Chiefs' offense has to pull that off. Which is, again, why I put the pressure on the offensive side of the football here. But I think the defense will do enough to say, where I'm doing this recap show next week, I'm not coming in and going, man, the defense really ruined everything. They gave up 40 points, the Chiefs scored 37, and that's all she wrote. I don't think that's going to happen in any way. I think they're going to do enough to put the pressure back on the Chiefs' offense. From Mike Thomas at Sig EP Magic Mike, he said, "Who wears the captain's C's on the jerseys like we've seen in the playoffs before? Two for each unit, offense, defense, and special teams." top of my head. On special teams, I would give it to Colquitt and Eric Murray. Eric Murray has been a tremendous force on the coverage teams. I think it would be kind of weird to give it to Tyreek Hill, and Dustin Colquitt has been on the team forever. He deserves it. That might be the easiest one that you could give. On defense, it's kind of weird that even now, my first thought was Derek Johnson. Obviously, he's not playing in this game. It's Eric Berry and somebody else. Although the Chiefs seem to give out captaincy based off of, like, especially at least in road games, whenever guys are playing in their hometown or whatever. I don't know if they're going to do anything like that for this game or if they're just going to give it to the true, like, captains. But I would be totally happy to see Marcus Peters get it in this game. He has been so dynamic, so consistent. So him and Eric Berry on defense would be fine by me. And then for the offense, Alex Smith, it would be strange to me to not give it to your quarterback. Who else in the offense? The offensive line operates as one unit. I wouldn't say there's one standout guy from the offensive line. Jeremy Maclin is the veteran presence. I would love to see Travis Kelce get it, but Travis Kelce just missed a quarter of a game because something happened, it seems. We don't know that for sure, but something happened, I would say, between him and Andy Reid. So maybe it goes to Smith and Kelce. I'm sorry, to Smith and Maclin, even though Kelce would, in my mind, be the second guy to get it. From Cameron Corwin at Cameron Corwin 61, any news on Justin March Lillard playing, at least in run situations? I haven't heard anything about Justin March Lillard. The last thing I remember hearing from anybody who, like, should know what's going on was that he seemed kind of close, perhaps, to playing in the Chargers game. So maybe with another week and with his timeline for his injury being healed after being reactivated from the injured reserve, it would make a lot of sense to see him in this game. I've expected to see him by now, but we still haven't. So take that for what you will. I would love to see him show up in this game. I think he would be a really nice addition. Also, though, because we're talking about how to stop Le'Veon Bell, if Justin Houston does play in this game, he will also be a huge factor in helping bolster that run defense. That might be the most underrated part of his game. He's just stupendous at stopping the run as well. But I would expect to see March return, but it's been very, very quiet. Now that I think of what I've seen about practice reports, I don't remember ever hearing that he was limited or out or missing practice in any way. So I think he should be showing up on Sunday. I wish I had a better definitive answer for you, though. From James Baker at JamesBay33072758. With bad weather coming, our struggles at inside linebacker and Le'Veon Bell, are you worried about the running game? Hopefully Andy game plans. I've been a fan since I was 7 years old. I've never felt this confident as well as scared at the same time about a Chiefs team. I feel you on the fear a little bit, because I'm confident what the Chiefs have, but I'm fearful that it just won't come together. Nightmares. Of course I'm worried about Le'Veon Bell, and of course I'm worried about the run game just solely because of him. But as I've said a few times now in this show, even without Derek Johnson here, I don't think Le'Veon Bell can win this game by himself. And if the Chiefs can't stop Le'Veon Bell or pressure Big Ben, then no, I mean, then it's the game's over. And as the, whatever, I'm sorry, I already forgot who asked the question about what's more important. That's a great question. Going back to that answer, my biggest focus, if I was in Bob Sutton's shoes, would be to get to Roethlisberger enough to keep him shooken up. That is going to affect his relationship with Antonio Brown. Who maybe you give Terrence Mitchell a little bit of trust and say, all right, man, here are the keys. You're driving. You don't have a whole lot of help here. Contain Antonio Brown. We believe that Marcus Peters can do his job on his side. You put a little bit of extra faith in Mitchell. Devote yourself to getting Roethlisberger, hoping, praying that will be enough of a rattling to keep him from getting the ball to Brown. Then you deal with stopping Le'Veon Bell. And I could be moving backwards on that. This game could prove that mindset wrong. But if I'm going to lose to the Steelers, I want to make them beat me on the ground and make them beat me in the trenches. Because even on a team that's lost both of its defensive ends early in the season, I think the Chiefs' defensive line is going to hold its own here. And Dontari Poe is going to make it so hard to run straight up the gut. Chris Jones and Nunez Roches and Reyes are going to make it difficult to just push over the Chiefs' defensive line. If Marshall Lillard returns, if D Ford can, D Ford can't play the run, but Tom Bahaly can play the run. If Justin Houston returns, even Ramique Wilson has had some really bright flashes. Eric Berry, one of his strengths, is helping to contain the run game. I think the Chiefs will do plenty of containing of Le'Veon Bell. My concern is getting pressure on Roethlisberger. there you have it. There are your questions heading into this game. As always, you can tweet me your thoughts on the show or questions you might have for next episode. Or once we get in the offseason, your tweets become even more important to driving the show. That's on Twitter at JB Briscoe, always willing and wanting to hear what you have to say. I promise my prediction is coming, but before we get there, I want to say thank you to the people who support the show financially through Patreon.com. Patreon.com/RTK is where you can go to give a little bit of money to help support this show. It's just a little bit every month on a monthly basis. You can cancel it whenever. Just throw a few bones this direction. That's what Ty Declare at Ty Declare 44 has done for a long time now. Randy Singh at Randy _ Singh has been here for a long time. Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy. Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. Andy Simpson. Those guys have been giving $20 a month to help support this show for quite a while now. All of them have been around for a long time. Cannot say thank you enough to them. Also, Christine Roadlander at C. Roadlander and Todd Sullivan at Tito Solovino and the $10 group. And the $5 group is Josh Beadle, Ben Rahman, and Jason Essler. Those people have been supporting the show financially for a good, good stretch of time now, and I am supremely grateful. If you want to join that group of valued, valued human beings, you can go to patreon.com/RTK and make sure I don't go hungry. One more section of news before the prediction. I don't know why I'm doing this to you. Good news, Dave Tobe is not going anywhere, and the AFC West is in some disarray. The Broncos hired former Dolphins defensive coordinator Vance Joseph as their head coach, and the Rams hired Wade Phillips as defensive coordinator. So the Broncos are going through major coaching changes, losing Gary Kubiak to retirement, losing Wade Phillips to the Rams, and special teams coach Joe DeCamillis left Denver for Jacksonville. So the Broncos now have lost DeCamillis and Wade Phillips and Gary Kubiak. Just so much turnover in Denver, which is fine by me. The now Los Angeles Chargers hired Anthony Lynn, former offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, as their head coach. He was the interim head coach for one game after Rex Ryan was fired. I don't have anything to say about that other than yay, it's not Dave Tobe. And the not-yet Las Vegas Raiders did not retain offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave, made quarterbacks coach Todd Dowling the new offensive coordinator. That's kind of strange, but another move in the AFC West. The Chiefs have been pretty stable, except for there was a little bit of news about John Dorsey potentially being a candidate for the Packers general manager job. Also, I think some reasonable speculation that John Dorsey's contract is up after this season, and that Andy Reid's might not be up until after, is not up until after next season. Dorsey might be on a different schedule. We don't know that for sure either direction, though. Really quick, and we'll dive into this more during the offseason, but if John Dorsey, if there is going to be an opening for the GM of the Packers, if John Dorsey is asked to go fill that role, he would be smart to go. I would say it would be a good move for John Dorsey to leave Kansas City to go back to Green Bay for these reasons. First of all, he wouldn't be answering to Andy Reid or anyone else. He would be the top dog, and right now in this situation, he's at least even with Andy Reid. At best, he's even. And he might be, on some level, submissive to Andy Reid. And in Green Bay, the hardest part of his job is done already. It's hard to find a franchise quarterback. He's built a really nice team in Kansas City, one of the five best teams in football. But he's built that around Alex Smith. That's difficult. If he would have done the same work around Aaron Rodgers, it would be really hard to give any argument for this team not being the best in the league. And pulling down multiple rings in the rest of Aaron Rodgers' career. So I think it would make all the sense in the world for John Dorsey to go, and I would not like that. I think for at least continuity's sake, and I think truly because he is good at turning over the bottom of that roster, he should be very valued in Kansas City. I also don't think it would be the end of the world if he left, but I think it's good that he's here now, obviously, and I would love to see John Dorsey and Andy Reid continue here for many more years. But I think it would make sense for John Dorsey to go, but I certainly hope he doesn't. I would love to see the Chiefs be the only team in the AFC West really going in the next year with a completely strong nucleus. The Raiders, next most stable, but the Broncos and Chargers have been going under so many changes in their front offices. I certainly hope that John Dorsey stays in Kansas City. That's going to do it for this episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm Joshua Briscoe on Twitter at JB Briscoe. So where do I land? Do the Chiefs get enough pressure on Ben Roethlisberger? I think they get some, but not very much. Do they hold down Le'Veon Bell? I think they get some wrangling, but not a shutdown. Do they contain Antonio Brown? I think they do. Does Bob Sutton and the Chiefs defense have the right plan? I think so. Can Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense exploit the holes in the Steelers defense to go blow for blow with one of the most high-powered offenses in football? I think they can. Bite your nails if you must. I think the Chiefs win this game 27-24 to head to Foxborough for the AFC Championship game. That's all I got. Very serious. Just predictions. Excuse me, sir, but I think the Chiefs win. The base, man, I'm nervous. Bye, Mom!